You've just tuned into Outdoor News Radio, a weekly showcase of the top outdoors writers and experts in Minnesota and across the region. I'm Outdoor News Managing Editor Rob Dreeslein, and I'm honored to have you join us for the next hour as we break down hunting, fishing, and natural resources topics affecting your ability to recreate in the Western Great Lakes and beyond. Our guests might challenge you occasionally, but we promise to entertain you while we're at it. Don't go away, because if you love this state's fine outdoor scene, you'll love Outdoor News Radio. Welcome, everybody, to another week of Outdoor News Radio. Rob Dreeslein is with you for the next hour. We're going to debrief on the big ICAST show down in Florida last week. Phil Freeball from Minnesota Outdoor News was down there. That's kind of the SHOT Show of fishing. All the new products for the sport angling world get unveiled there, and a lot of industry chatter. So we'll talk to Phil about that a little bit. Phil is the Director of Sales and Marketing here at Outdoor News. We'll have Les Meister a little bit later, hoping to also get in some dog talk that time of year, so we'll see if we pull that off. But I'm going to launch a show with Mr. Tim Spielman, the editor at Minnesota Outdoor News. And Tim, welcome. Good to see you.
You as well. Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Yeah, every week. Here we are. Tim, first of all, I got to southeast Minnesota last week, went out and did some hiking. The one thing that I encountered was a lot of haze. Man, that smoke returned in with a vengeance last weekend, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I was in on the opposite side over in the – well, not opposite. I was in the southwest area. And, yeah, both Saturday and Sunday when I was in that vicinity, it was that eerie haze, yeah, that it seems like we've had more often than not almost this summer. You know, I can't click on my phone and look at the weather without it. Well, the last couple of days have been good, but how many times do we check the forecast and see air quality warning?
Yeah, air quality alert. It was really bad Sunday coming back up, like south of Cannon Falls. I mean, it was striking how you could see a long way down there, and how it just how hazy it was. Your visibility was almost reduced.
It almost looks like there's a threat of rain, but there's not, because somewhere beyond there's clear skies.
Right. But still, beautiful weekend last weekend. Had a good time getting together with family down there. I was hiking a state park, Great River Bluff State Park, formerly known as O.L. Kip. I was asking my dad about that, by the way. He thought a lot of these parks that are named after people are getting named different things. I was like, well, I guess that's news to me. But certainly is what happened with that one. It's a town between Winona and La Crosse. But we quoted Ann Pierce again. In this week's paper, Brian Mosey talked to her about DNR getting serious on another crackdown on what, mushrooms and berries. Who saw this coming, huh?
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was. Well, I figured people did some harvesting. I think there are already rules in place, but it sounds like they're not very clear for people. You know, honestly, when you think about it, how do you measure mushrooms and berries? Is it a quart thing? Is it a poundage thing? And who's going to do it at a state park anyway? They don't have patrols out all the time, do they? I mean, COs go through there, but it seems like one more thing for people to do. I don't think we've seen the numbers, the stats, the evidence that this is a problem. We can take the department officials for their word, but yeah, I didn't realize it was something that was creating issues at state parks.
I've heard about this out west on some big federal lands in the west. Like 20 years ago, I remember reading about this, that they get these groups of folks usually working for someone else who would go out and they're gathering fungus or fungi and then being paid, you know, by the pound. I suspect, you know, on state parks, this isn't about, you know, Tim or Rob or the wife and kids going out and going for a walk and coming up on a big batch of morels or something in the spring and saying, wow, look at them all, and taking a couple pounds and being like, wow, look what we hit. I think this is probably about organized efforts that must be going into these state parks and and picking everything. Is that your sense, or do you think it's more the, you know, we got this locavore thing that's blown up, right? These millennials love foraging. Is that contributing to it? I don't know.
Well, good question. But if it's people taking mass quantities, I guess you watch for folks with gunny sacks over their shoulders and pushing wheelbarrows through the state park. But I don't know. Those are good questions to ask. And where? I'm guessing a lot in the southeast. I mean, you can find morels in a lot of places, obviously. But when you hear about the foraging and COs becoming involved in the CO reports, it's usually from the southeast.
Okay.
But on the other hand, too, that might be the whole ginseng thing as well.
Right.
So we've only just begun with a potential rulemaking through the DNR, so maybe we'll get some more details soon.
Yeah, stay tuned for that one. New rules for mushroom and other foraging, certainly on state parks. Outdoor News Radio, Rob Gerisline and Tim Spielman kicking off this week's broadcast. I see a couple dates to remember popping up, but it's the same date, August 18th, Friday, August 18th. The DNR is telling folks they have until then to apply for one of 125 permits for the 2023 prairie chicken hunting season. 9-day season will begin Saturday, September 23rd, open to Minnesota residents only. Man, that's fewer permits than we used to issue, I think, for moose, isn't it?
yeah, I think you're right.
And you can hunt up there in northwestern Minnesota. It's a slice of land from St. Hilaire up to Breckenridge. Not something I've ever participated in. You ever applied for that, Tim?
Nope, I never have. I think it'd be fun, but it's for me, it'd be one more thing to do in the fall, and I already don't have enough time for what I am doing.
But
it is cool that it's available anyhow.
Yeah, I've talked to some guys that have done it in the past, and I think it's one of those situations where they go out, they scout, they know where the birds are, and you go out and you flush them and you shoot one, and your season's over. So, and then you go somewhere else and pheasant hunt or sharptail hunt or something like that. So I don't necessarily think it would eat a lot of time if you know what you're doing. But nonetheless, it's still requires scouting and going to a different part of the state. And then also on August 18th, folks need to apply for special youth deer hunts. We've got a bunch of those scattered around the state, mostly in state parks. Speaking of state parks again, it looks like folks can go to mndnr.gov and probably just search youth special deer hunts to get more information. That is not to be confused with the statewide youth deer season, which runs October 19th to the 22nd, something I have done with my kids over the years. So anyway, some dates to remember there, Mr. Spielman.
Yep, there's a lot of these things coming up because it is almost August, and August is followed by September, and that's when a lot of the hunts begin. So,
exactly.
So it's all sneaking up.
Finally, Tim, you want to talk a little bit about our new Firearm Safety Instructor of the Year. It's actually for the 2022, but tell us about this guy.
Yeah, news release from the DNR. Donald, I'm going to go with Belange, B-E-L-A-N-G-E, from White Lakes, was the 22 Volunteer Firearm Safety Instructor of the Year, and he's been a volunteer for 23 years. So congratulations to Donald. It sounds like he goes above and beyond, to use that cliche. He does a lot of things. He's worked with archery in the schools. He's a gunsmith. He works with a sportsman's club or conservation club in Aurora. So he's a busy man, and he finds time to do the firearm safety classes. And I didn't realize it, but there are 4,000 of these volunteers in Minnesota. So it's volunteers. I mean, that's kind of the key when you think about this, is people like Don, they're not getting paid, and they spend a reasonable amount of time doing these things. So I think they deserve a lot of credit.
Without question. This guy sounds like he's trained more than 500 kids over the past 23 years. He's done 4 to 5 classes per year. You know, I've got a bunch of boys, Tim, that have all been through firearm safety, and so I've, you know, gone to the classes with them. I tell you what, you watch these guys, they're a patient lot, and they're dealing with usually a bunch of rowdy boys who are sitting, you know, they're all around a bunch of guns, and that takes a steady hand to keep those kids interested and learning and under control and, you know, being respectful. And they're talking about things like hunter ethics as well as firearm safety. So you just can't say enough good about these guys. I wish we could honor more than one per year.
Yeah, and there are a lot of reasons for it, but Minnesota's not alone, but Minnesota's safety record for hunting is very, very good. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but much of that should be credited to these firearm safety instructors.
Yeah, since the firearm safety program began in 1955, more than 1.3 million students have been certified. That is pretty cool. If folks want more information on that program, go to mndnr.gov/safety/firearms. Tim, thank you. Covered a lot of ground there. Always good to check in with you, and we'll rendezvous again in a week.
That sounds good. See you then.
All right. Thanks, Tim Spielman, editor at Outdoor News. We are going to break. We'll have more of the broadcast after these messages.
You wanted lower prices? Fleet Farm's got them. Like KT Nut and Fruit Blend, now only $32.99 for a 20-pound bag. Or how about $3.49 a quart for Resolute Conventional or Synthetic Blend Motor Oil? Also, Resolute Classic Green Antifreeze is now just $10.99 a gallon. And control summer weeds with Gordon's Amine 240 Weed Killer. 2.5 gallons, now only $69.99. Look for new lower prices on everything you need for everyday life with price drops at Fleet Farm.
Your land is your legacy. But keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Michigan, Wisconsin, or Minnesota, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Nice Chevy Trailblazer, Ben.
Thanks. It was love at first sight.
But didn't you say you loved all the room in the Traverse?
Oh, yeah.
And didn't you say you loved the style of the Blazer?
No doubt.
And all the tech in the Equinox?
Definitely.
But the Trailblazer was love at first sight?
Well, I didn't say it was the only one I loved at first sight.
The hardest part of driving home in a new Chevy SUV is choosing which one. Click now to learn more. Find new roads at your local Chevy dealer.
Introducing the all-new OutdoorNews.com, the most trusted source for all things out-of-doors in the Great Lakes region, just got better. At OutdoorNews.com, you'll now have full access to every outdoor news story, breaking news and updates, our comprehensive fishing and hunting reports, pro tips, and much more for our seven-state region and beyond. Top hunters and anglers look to Outdoor News to keep them up-to-date and ahead of the crowd. Now it's easier than ever with the all-new OutdoorNews.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org and become a BHA member today.
Hey, Steve Panaz here. For too long, Minnesota anglers have not had a strong voice at the legislature or the DNR. You can help ensure the quality of state fisheries by joining the MinFish Sport Fishing Foundation. Individual memberships are free and life memberships are available. MinFish Foundation is dedicated to restoring, protecting, and enhancing Minnesota sport fishing opportunities. To join us, visit min-fish.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Outdoor News Radio. Rob Jerisline with you here for another segment. We'll have Tim Lesmeister with us in about 15 minutes. Before we do that, we're going to talk with Phil Freebalt. He is the VP of Sales and Marketing here at Outdoor News. We're going to talk to him about the ICAST show. We're going to have a big story about ICAST in next week's print version of Outdoor News, so check that out. You can subscribe by going to outdoornews.com. You can get the digital version there, or you can subscribe to the print version. Or call us at 800-535-5191. For those of you wondering what ICAST means, it's the International Convention of Allied Sport Fishing Trades. It's kind of the SHOT Show of the fishing industry. And like I say, Phil Freebalt is here now. He was down in Orlando, Florida last week checking it out. Phil, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Rob. Yeah, even though it's in the 80s here today, it's much cooler than sweltering Florida. So that was good.
Yeah, Florida in July, about as hot as it gets, and a lot of news down there about how warm the southern United States has been, even the ocean around Florida, but that's another matter. That event has been in Orlando for a number of years. They got a big old facility, and they really welcome the fishing industry down there, don't
yeah,
they?
It's, I mean, I'm guessing they get a decent deal to keep it there, but it's, you know, the Orange County Convention Center is a huge facility, and it works really well for them because they do a day where they're kind of doing demos out on the water, and there's a huge pond out in front of the convention center that big enough so they've got some power boats out there, kayaks, other things, and then a full line of booths along the water just demoing different products for the fishing industry. So they do that, and then you go inside, and it's, you know, next to what I see at SHOT Show, it's one of the biggest convention centers I've seen. And of course, being Florida, it's set up with hotels and restaurants and everything just around there. So it's other than it being, you know, like you're sitting in a sauna, it's perfect for the for what they do.
Yeah, it's a huge multi-building facility. And yeah, we get a little smug about fishing up here in Minnesota. We love our fishing. We got a lot of lakes. We got a lot of shoreline. We do a lot of fishing. But man, oh man, Florida is a big time fishing state. It's a really logical location for that event.
It is. And I think you see a lot of companies and people down there from Florida, from that southeastern part of the United States. But I would say that Minnesota is very well represented at this show. It's amazing. You know, there's certainly a lot of people and friends I've made in this industry along the way that are from up here that I saw down there. But there's also people, you know, just a lot of shops and other products that you just didn't know. And they've got some level of association with Minnesota or they're based here. And it's definitely well represented.
Just over 13,000 attendees at this show, which makes it, what, about a quarter the size of SHOT, would you guess? I think they get, what, 50, 60,000 at SHOT out in Vegas, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, well, I've heard the number 80,000 before, wow. But that was pre-pandemic. But I would say, you know, I've been going to these for, you know, over six years now, and obviously everything dipped down during COVID, but this was a really good show, well attended from the number of booth standpoints and exhibitors they had there, the different brands from the fishing industry. That was well represented from all over the country and actually all over the world. And it's certainly nothing compares to the size of SHOT Show, but SHOT Show has changed too, as far as, you know, what they're appealing to a much broader audience now that they've added in the tactical stuff and things like that, where fishing, you know, you kind of separate, you know, the saltwater from the freshwater stuff. And they've done a little push this year for the fly fishing, which that grew to some extent. So there was more fly fishing brands represented, but they can't go too much further than that.
It seems like the fly fishing portion of that show kind of ebbs and flows. Like they put a big push on it maybe 5 years ago. They had a strong fly fishing section. Then it, like I say, it ebbed a little bit. There wasn't as many the last time I was there, right. But they were putting on the full court press again with the fly guys. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think the participation levels are up in fly fishing, and certainly there's a lot of money in that part of the industry. But I think what they did differently this year was really cater to that group. In the past, you know, the kind of the fly fishing area has been off to the side, and this year they really made a conscious effort to have, you know, they had a pond where people would test out the flies and the rods and reels right basically in the middle of the show. And then they built kind of a display, you know, faux lodge in right by that area too, that looked kind of like a fly fishing lodge. And they featured all the different products that the different brands were exhibiting for fly fishing in that lodge. So it kind of gave a home base for that area too. So they definitely made a conscious effort about there. A lot of talk prior to the show about the fly fishing area too. And I think overall pretty successful. There's a lot of brands that cater to both fly and open water fishing, but the ones that were fly specific, I think that got some new ones out there for that.
You're listening to Outdoor News Radio. Rob Dreisline is here with Phil Freebald. He is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Outdoor News. He just returned from balmy Orlando, Florida last week, hosting the International Convention of Allied Sport Fishing Trades, the ICAST show. It occurs every July down there in Orlando. You know, you talked a little bit about SHOT. One thing that I will be very open that I think ICAST does better than SHOT is they do this best in show program in their new product section. And I don't know if it's because, like you said, at SHOT, there's so many different types of customers at that event because of the tactical, because of the security folks right. that are on hand. Maybe it just doesn't work at a show like that, where this is more just pure fishing. But I really think this show does a great job every year with this best in show thing.
Right.
They play it up really well. They got a lot of different categories. A lot of different companies get represented. I guess a Florida-based operation called American Tackle Company took home the big Best in Show award this year. Tell us a little bit about that, Phil. What did they unveil?
Yeah, so they're a company. They make a lot of components for rod building and other things for people that, you know, kind of the do-it-yourself crowd in the fishing industry. But they had basically a all-carbon fishing rod handle called the G2. I think it's pronounced Tsuka or Zuka, T-S-U-K-A, and it was a complete carbon handle, rod handle that they released at the show, and it won the category for fishing component, and then ended up going on to win the Best of Show. They do a good job with the overall show does a good job promoting the best of parts. You know, and then they have the people from the media vote on it, but they also have a lot of the buyers that are there. Anyone that's not basically an exhibitor or selling advertising space can vote on it. So I think there's some level, there's a little popularity contest, but it's interesting though that, you know, a lot of the years the Best of Show ends up being a little bit of the non-top major league brands where, you know, last year it was some, you know, a duo that just started making really unique coolers out of Alaska.
Yeah.
And then this year it's, you know, I know American Tackle's been around for a while and they're probably one of the leaders in kind of that rod building part of the industry, but it's not like they're Shimano or St. Croix or, you know, Pure Fishing brand or something like that. It's a one-off Florida-based company, and good for them. You can tell it's quite an honor for all those that won. Even, you know, a company like AFTCO won, I think, like 8 or 9 category awards, and they're a really big, you know, clothing manufacturer in the fishing industry out of California, but they loved it. They hyped it up. Their PR machine got into place with all the stuff that they won, and so they probably display the trophies for this contest in the booths the day after they announce them, and so it does become a big deal.
Well, closer to home, Minnesota's own Rapala was on hand. Big news towards the end of the show, they've acquired a majority share of 13 Fishing, a big fishing brand. That was interesting to hear about. Sounds like you were telling me off air that that announcement came late in the show, so it didn't get a lot of buzz because it was kind of late in the event.
They kind of fell into the newsmaker category this year because they had a couple big things going on, you know, and obviously they're a big brand in the industry. But yeah, I know that I think about a year ago I had heard and they had released some press materials that they were at least at some level had some ownership with 13 Fishing. And then this one this year, they became much more of a majority owner. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that because 13 Fishing has been a good brand, both in open water and ice fishing for a long time. And so that it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. It obviously fits right in with some of their other stuff. But I think the bigger news that they wanted to really focus on was the release of their new line of soft baits called Crush City, and really appealing to the kind of the bass fishing crowd that are going to using more of the plastics out on the water. So they did a fully dedicated press conference on the Tuesday, which is the day before the show officially opens, but it's the day that they're trying to get more of these press events happening. They did a full, well-attended press conference to release these new plastics and a really good line of plastics, well-branded, well-made. They had Jake Wheeler, who's a pro bass fisherman, really involved in the design process, and he's kind of the face of that. But they probably wanted to really focus on that new product release and then came in later with the announcement about the 13 Fishing upgrade, I guess, in their ownership.
You know, Rapala, kind of the king of the crankbait market and really going all in now, like you say, with the soft baits. We're about out of time, Phil, but St. Croix Rods, another company that, you know, we associate with casting, with rods, really going all in on the reel market with this, what do they call it, Seven?
Seven, and it's S-E-V-I-I-N, or if it's 7-Eleven, I should have clarified that with them when I was down there, but they put a lot of time and effort into, you know, kind of producing this new line of reels, and they've got, it looks like, both, you know, baitcasters and spinning reels, and obviously to sell along with their rods. I think in the past they had partnered with companies like Daiwa and some others to offer reels as more of a package or a combo deal, but now they've got some level of ownership in producing these, and they were very much promoting that. That was their lead piece of their promotion down at the show. Even though the rods continue to win awards, it's kind of that standard in the industry. But to add the reels into it is, you know, they're diversifying what they can do.
Well, check out the print version of Outdoor News or go to OutdoorNews.com. You can read the complete list of the new product section, best of category winners. There's a whole long list. We've already got that online. I think you don't have to go behind the paywall to read that. But we'll have the more extensive article again next week. And Phil, 2024 ICAST, the 67th event, will be July 16th to 19th. Back in Orlando, Florida. You'll be there, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward. It's a fun show to go to. One of my favorites, and it's got a good vibe, and always come out of there with some really interesting news, some great innovations, and you know, when I put my ad sales hat on, we always find some really good opportunities down there for that as well.
Thanks for the thorough report.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That was Phil Freebalt, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Outdoor News, giving us a report on the 2023 ICAST show from Orlando, Florida. Don't go away. More of the broadcast after these messages. Minnesota's largest outdoor event returns for its 42nd year, Game Fair. Check out dozens of hunting, fishing, and dog training seminars. Visitors can see more than 300 exhibitors, plus enjoy games for dogs and youth. Test the latest equipment and enjoy the world-famous Duck and Goose Calling Contest. Game Fair runs 2 weekends, rain or shine, August 11th, 12th, and 13th, and August 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Armstrong Ranch in Ramsey. See details at gamefair.com.
It's walleye season, and at Sportsman's Lodge on the Lake of the Woods, we're ready to put you on fish. We have the boats, the gear, and the guides to give any angler a world-class fishing experience. Plus, our newly renovated dock system provides easy, convenient access. 49 new slips have power hookups to keep your boat charged and in the water, so you can get after the fish quickly. Book your adventure today at sportsmanslodges.com or give us a call at 800-862-8602.
You wanted lower prices? Fleet Farm's got them. Like KT Nut and Fruit Blend, now only $32.99 for a 20-pound bag. Or how about $3.49 a quart for Resolute Conventional or Synthetic Blend Motor Oil? Also, Resolute Classic Green Antifreeze is now just $10.99 a gallon. And control summer weeds with Gordon's Amine 240 Weed Killer. 2.5 gallons, now only $69.99. Look for new lower prices on everything you need for everyday life with price drops at Fleet Farm.
The Kenai Peninsula is Alaska's playground. It's where you'll find some of the best fishing on the planet. Jason's Guide Service guides on the Kenai River, and this is where you should take your quest for that trophy rainbow trout. You can also get into some of the best sockeye salmon fishing in the world. If you want to take home some fresh wild salmon, there's no better place to do it than on the Kenai River. Check it out at jasonsguideservice.com.
Since 1967, Outdoor News has been Minnesota's go-to news source for all things out of doors. Generations of hunters and anglers have welcomed Outdoor News into their home each week, enjoying the most up-to-date news, features, columnists, fishing and hunting reports, gear reviews, and much, much more. For less than a dollar a week, you can join thousands of other Minnesota sportsmen and continue the long-standing tradition of subscribing to Outdoor News. Both print and digital versions are available. Start your subscription today at outdoornews.com/subscribe.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Outdoor News Radio, back half of this week's broadcast. Phil Freebalt joined us in the last segment, spent some time chatting with him about the big ICAST show last week down in Orlando, Florida. A lot cooking down there. If you like the broadcast, check us out online at OutdoorNews.com. You can also subscribe by calling us at 800-535-5191. Tim Lesmeister joining me now. Tim, welcome. Good to see you. You've been fishing on the greatest of Great Lakes.
And it's been tough out there. Let me tell you, the fishing on Lake Superior right now must be behind schedule because generally this time of year I'm seeing a lot of mayflies. I'm seeing a lot of mayfly husks. I'm going out to the flats. The bugs are coming up And the fish are out there. You'll spot big schools of bait fish over the mud. There'll be all kinds of the hooks around those bait fish. You drag a downrigger through them with a spin and glow, a spoon, or a crank bait that matches the hatch. And you'll load up pretty quickly. But we've been going out there, and we've seen very few fish, no schools of minnows. I'm not seeing any husks on the surface of the water. It's still pretty cool right now. It didn't warm up as fast as it should have. And the fishing for lake trout has not kicked into high gear yet out there. We've been in the bay a few times looking for northern pike, smallmouth bass. They're there, but they're not feeding voraciously like they usually do. I'm kind of blaming the cold fronts and weather that has been very unstable, and it's basically shut these fish off. If I'm not used to tough fishing on Lake Superior this time of year, that's usually an early spring phenomenon and a late fall scenario. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm hoping that things change soon.
Tim, a lot of stories in this week's paper, some topics you and I have not discussed in recent weeks. One, the DNR implementing this ban on using lead on 56 state scientific and natural areas. Now, I forget how many SNAs we have. We've got, I think, over 100, maybe 150 of them. The DNR banning it on just a subset of these properties. In terms of acreage, Tim, none of these things are real big. I can't imagine we're talking even 10,000 acres statewide, probably far less than that. But nonetheless, some of the industry, federal premium, I believe the National Shooting Sports Foundation also sent some pretty strongly worded letters to the DNR objecting to the DNR's decision to do that. Like I said, I don't believe you and I debriefed on it. What do you make of the topic?
I actually don't have a problem because I don't have a problem getting rid of lead completely from just about everything. And I see that there are a lot of great alternatives now to lead. You know, when you're fishing tackle, you've got tungsten for your shot. You've got good steel shot loads now. You've got good copper bullets when you're talking about rifle cartridges. And if you want to shoot something that is, you know, a solid lead alternative, there's bismuth and there's also some of the tungsten options. So there's so many great options out there right now. I kill a lot of birds with steel. I don't even hunt with lead anymore. So to me, it's not even a factor. I'd like to see lead go away. It's going to. Every year we fight with all the different legislative bodies all over the country about whether or not we should keep using lead out in the environment. And most scientists are saying no. People are saying, well, it doesn't affect that many animals and birds, so why worry about it? Well, it does some. And I say at this point here, if we want to take some out of the SNAs, which some are pretty wet, you know, some have some wetland properties to them, then I say more power to you. Go ahead and get rid of it. I don't think that they'll probably go after the wildlife management areas, but I know in the waterfowl production areas, you're not using lead there.
Anytime you're chasing waterfowl, migratory birds, you're supposed to be using non-toxic. You're supposed to be using steel, bismuth, tungsten, something other than lead. As I have said, I think, to you and as well as Spielman and other folks, I generally think we should be trying to get away from lead in hunting. I'd like to see the market continuing to push that forward. I hate to see, you know, decrees come down and ban lead. I feel quite strongly, Tim, that using certain birds, especially eagles and trumpeter swans, as poster birds for why we need to ban lead is, I'm not comfortable with that, because it suggests that the use of lead is harming the populations of those birds, and it is not. Yes, anytime a bird dies from lead poisoning, it's a bad way to go, and that's why I don't want to see that. I don't want any individual animal to suffer that way. Meanwhile, the populations of eagles and swans continues to increase despite the use of lead in the environment. So that bothers me when I see lead opponents doing that. Now, this specific situation, I'm not necessarily thrilled with how the DNR did it. I mean, it just kind of came down as a decree. There wasn't really any public comment involved, and there didn't have to be. The DNR has the authority to do this in terms of statute and how it manages its lands. This did not need to become a new law from the legislature to accomplish this. Nonetheless, I think it would have been nice if there had been a little public review before this just came down. DNR feels pretty strongly this is within their purview, and I have heard that, you know, the brass at the DNR isn't necessarily thrilled with some of the backlash that they've gotten to this, Tim. In fact, I got a letter middle part of this past week that was signed by DNR Commissioner Sarah Stroman. This was sent to Vista Outdoors, the parent company of Federal, pointing out that this, again, the order that they implemented, they are confident that this order is reasonable, consistent with the purpose of scientific and natural areas, and based on sound science. Also pointing out that the 56 SNAs included in the order account for less than a 0.5% of all DNR-managed acres that allow hunting. So this is a very, very tiny subset of properties where we have some hunting going on.
Yeah, and I think that in the wildlife management areas, you probably won't see them going after a lead ban in the near future. Someday I think it's going to happen. I think at some point there'll be a strong enough coalition that they'll just ban all lead in the environment, and there's nothing you'll be able to do about it. And in that case, you might not even be able to use lead target shooting when you're out there shooting sporting clays and trap, which that would bother me because I still use lead when I'm shooting sporting clays and trap. So, I don't know. It's such a tough situation that we're dealing with here when it comes to lead, because the manufacturers just hate to see themselves having to change something that they've been doing for many, 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 many years. But I think eventually the people that want to see this happen are going to get it done.
Tim, when you and I toured Federal Ammo last summer, I believe that was now, didn't they point out that a lot of the lead that they're using in ammo has already been recycled once? A lot of that is recycled lead from, was it car batteries?
Right, yeah. Oh, definitely, it's all recycled lead. There's an amazing amount of lead that gets recycled, and I would imagine a lot of it does come from car batteries. And believe it or not, there's an incredible amount of lead that gets recycled from shooting ranges. You'll see that they're using backstops now that actually gets the lead back to them for recycling. So the lead that you see in the cartridges that are being used for target shooting and for protection rounds are probably recycled lead.
Tim, I got to admit, some of these shooting ranges that I've been to, I sometimes wonder about how much lead is, you know, because it's just shot after shot, round after round, all day, you know, that lead getting scattered out in front of, you know, these trap ranges. That particular spot has got to be pretty toxic, I got to think, going forward for a long time. Or are there means for recycling some of that lead, too, some of this the lead shot that lands out on basically lawns, or it's not a lawn, you know what I'm saying. Do they recycle any of that?
I doubt if the shot gets picked up. I think what you'll see is that the bullets, you know, all get picked up because they can actually be trapped pretty easily. But shot, I would say no. One of these days, lead will get to the point where it's more expensive than steel, and then you'll see your target shooters switching over to, you know, big chokes. I mean, wide, super open chokes, and shooting steel, because you can break clay pigeons with steel pretty easily. There's a little different patterning. You'll have to adjust your shot placement, your what I call your sight target, sight pattern will have to be different. But, you know, eventually when it gets to the point where you can't buy cheap lead shotgun loads, you'll see that the target shooters will all switch over to steel as well.
Lead is cheap.
Lead's cheap.
I mean, this discussion's been going on since I was a new shooter 40 years ago, and we talked about steel versus lead at my firearm safety class that I took. Back then, one of the driving forces was lead is cheap. Well, it's still cheap, in part because they're recycling it from car batteries and some of these other purposes. Tim, final note, I did mention this letter from the DNR. Outdoor News will be printing this letter, I believe, in its entirety in next week's commentary section. The retort, you might say, from DNR Commissioner Sarah Stroman regarding this highly controversial SNA issue.
Well, I'm glad that she was able to step up to the plate and provide some feedback as to why the decision was made. And, you know, and basically, you know, if I have a complaint with an organization, entity, a manufacturer, I kind of like it when they come back and tell me why they made the decision they did, even if I don't agree with it. I think it's great when someone steps up to the plate like that.
Well, and when I suggested that this was not transparent, I do want to point out that the DNR issued a 9-page findings of fact and order regarding this amendment to require non-toxic ammo on 56 SNAs. And, I mean, they break it all down, background, law, and analysis. a list of the specific SNAs we're talking about and conclusions, and then of course the final order. So if folks want details on that, it's probably something we should post at OutdoorNews.com. We'll probably do that, post the whole letter along with the order if folks want to read the whole thing. But it's not, the DNR didn't just do this randomly. They lay it out pretty thoroughly. You'll stick around for another segment, Tim?
You bet.
All right, let's break. More Outdoor News Radio after these messages.
You wanted lower prices? Fleet Farm's got them. Like KT Nut and Fruit Blend, now only $32.99 for a 20-pound bag. Or how about $3.49 a quart for Resolute Conventional or Synthetic Blend Motor Oil? Also, Resolute Classic Green Antifreeze is now just $10.99 a gallon. And control summer weeds with Gordon's Amine 240 Weed Killer. 2.5 gallons, now only $69.99. Look for new lower prices on everything you need for everyday life with price drops at Fleet Farm.
Your land is your legacy. But keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Michigan, Wisconsin, or Minnesota, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit FamilyForestCarbon.org and enroll today.
Minnesota's largest outdoor event returns for its 42nd year, Game Fair. Check out dozens of hunting, fishing, and dog training seminars. Visitors can see more than 300 exhibitors, plus enjoy games for dogs and youth. Test the latest equipment and enjoy the world-famous Duck and Goose Calling Contest. Game Fair runs 2 weekends, rain or shine, August 11th, 12th, and 13th, and August 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Armstrong Ranch in Ramsey. See details at gamefair.com.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA. It is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families, and one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Introducing the all-new OutdoorNews.com, the most trusted source for all things out of doors in the Great Lakes region, just got better. At OutdoorNews.com, you'll now have full access to every outdoor news story, breaking news and updates, our comprehensive fishing and hunting reports, pro tips, and much more for our 7-state region and beyond. Top hunters and anglers look to Outdoor News to keep them up to date and ahead of the crowd. Now it's easier than ever with the all-new OutdoorNews.com.
A bullseye rash can be the first sign of Lyme disease, but not everyone will develop the rash. If you've been in areas where Lyme disease is common and develop fever, fatigue, facial paralysis, or joint and muscle pain, seek medical care. Reduce your chances of getting Lyme disease by wearing insect repellent, showering soon after coming indoors, and checking for ticks daily. To learn more, visit www.cdc.gov/Lyme. A message from CDC.
Welcome back, everybody. Outdoor News Radio. I am Rob Gerisline. Final segment of this week's broadcast. My friend Tim Lesmeister is here to help me bring it home. Read him at OutdoorNews.com or in the print version. Call us at 800-535-5191. You can also subscribe to the print version or the website via OutdoorNews.com. Tim, a couple other stories. I don't believe you and I have debriefed on the rough grouse counts. I had Charlotte Roy on from the DNR last week. We talked about this a little bit. She went out of her way. I actually chuckled aloud. She kind of threw out the caveat that just because the counts are up in the spring doesn't necessarily mean you will see the birds in the fall. I suppose there's a lot of factors that can influence how many of those birds survive until autumn. But nonetheless, the initial results looking pretty good.
No, I think she's wrong. I think that you are going to see those birds in the fall. I'd be promoting the heck out of the fact that the grouse hunting is going to be outstanding this year. I'm already starting to make plans to get into some grouse hunting here in northern Wisconsin, and I'm looking at some potential for northern Minnesota as well. It's going to be incredible. The numbers are up. The grouse hunting has been actually fairly decent in some of the places that I've been hunting the last few years, and I think that this year is going to be banner. So make sure that you start booking your resorts and getting everything put together here for some quality grouse hunting this year, because the numbers are up really, really well. this spring and during the counts, which means I have seen it in the past. That means that it's going to be good this fall. Really good.
Well, you know, we're only 2 years removed from what we thought was the low point of the cycle. That's what's kind of interesting is, you know, normally you get 3-4 years in between peaks and valleys on this kind of so-called 8-to-11-year cycle. I definitely think the heavy snow we've had the past couple of winters is part of the reason. I mean, these birds can escape predators. Grouse burrow right into the snow. I think a lot of people don't understand it. They don't morph their feathers like a ptarmigan or their fur like a rabbit, right? A snowshoe hare changes its color, its plumage. Ruffed grouse are that brown color or that reddish color year-round. And so when they get some snow where they can bail in and they can hide, I think it it helps their cause, and they avoid predators, and they produce some nice broods in the spring.
Yeah, I think you're right. And here's another thing that we have going for us is during that low year, which was a couple years ago, it wasn't that low. You know, the numbers were still pretty good. So it wasn't one of those bottom out lows where you literally walk for 2 days and see maybe three birds and don't get any shooting. So this is 2 years ago when they said that this is going to be one of our low years. I mean, you could go out and get a limit in 4 hours. So it was a totally different hunt during the low period. It was a lot more birds than we're used to during a low period. And I think when you have good numbers to start with the right conditions for a winter carryover and nesting, you're going to have a great fall. And we've had that. So I think it's a good idea to get those 28 gauges all cleaned up and find yourself some bismuth shot and get ready to go to town here. There might be a few grouse on those SNAs.
Tim, I got some breaking news as we record here that I think is probably going to dominate the rest of our segment here today. I will probably follow up on this again next week. But Lan Tawney, who has joined us on this broadcast before, the longtime Backcountry Hunters and Anglers president and CEO, has announced his departure. Under Tawney's leadership, BHA grew from a small volunteer-based organization to the North American leader in hunter-angler public lands advocacy. The BHA board will lead a search committee. Pretty big story. I mean, Land has kind of been Mr. Public Lands. He has been the face of this organization, kind of the Pied Piper of public lands advocacy in this country for the better part of 10 years. BHA, we've seen, we've got some healthy conservation groups in this country, Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, among others, Turkey. But BHA has really been the upstart, the only upstart in a number of years, an organization that has grown dramatically. It's not as big as those ones I just mentioned. Like I say, Land has been there rah-rah. He's been their cheerleader, and I've seen him inspire a lot of people with his speeches and that sort of thing. Guys traveled like crazy over the years. This is pretty big news.
It's huge news. I'm amazed to hear it. I'm also sad to hear that he's leaving, because it takes a catalyst like him to make things happen, and he did. And not just for, you know, an elite group of hunters or a marginally sized group of individuals that have certain, you know, specific hunting needs. This was for all hunters and all people that wanted to use the outdoors. As the backcountry hunters and anglers could, you know, basically be considered everywhere from the guy who fishes from shore with a Zebco 202 to the guy that's got 15 rifles, 25 shotguns, and hunts everything that moves. So I think that this was an organization that was all-encompassing. They did a great job, and I'm thinking this guy is going to be sorely missed.
Just reviewing the press release, which just came through as Tim and I were recording this segment, I'm just scanning it here. I don't sense that he's leaving it for a new job. Presumably he is, but they're not telling us if he's leaving for some sort of new job. Certainly Land would be in high demand for a lot of different organizations around the country, you know, public policy, outside even the outdoors realm. I know Land's got a couple of, I wouldn't call them super young kids, a middle schooler, maybe early high school age kids. I don't know if that's influencing his decision, but I'd say this is a pretty big shock. BHA has been involved in a lot of public policy issues involving the outdoors. Anything that touches public lands, they have been involved in. The release saying the North American BHA Board of Directors will soon commence a search for Tawney's replacement. In his interim period, BHA VP of Policy and Government Relations John Gale and Vice President of Operations Frankie McBurney Olson will be acting in an interim co-CEO status. Well, that always works well, doesn't it, Tim, to guide the organization. John has also joined me on his broadcast a number of times, Tim, the government relations guy. He's really hip deep in, like I say, what's going on in D.C., I think very highly of him. I don't know the other person. I presume extremely competent also. But I can't imagine they'll keep a co-CEO status going for permanently.
Bottom line is we need land if we're going to continue to hunt and fish. We need public access onto water. We need public access onto land. These guys were instrumental in making sure that we had that and kept expanding on it. As the population in this country grows and more people want to take up the sports of hunting and fishing, you can't just, you know, basically say, here are the resources you have, good luck. I hope they bring in someone that is as effective as this individual was. He did a great job.
Yeah, without question. And he is, I guess, officially departing the end of July, which that's 10-12 days from now. So this is happening quite quickly. I hope we can get him on the radio program here again sometime. I presume we'll be able to. BHA based out in Missoula, Montana, but has one of its biggest, healthiest chapters right here in Minnesota. Land was here this past winter checking out the Minnesota's winter rendezvous that occurred up at Lake Mille Lac, and a lot of good publicity came out of that. I've been out to their rendezvous in Missoula in the past. I could go on and on, but I think very highly of Land. I think very highly of Katie McCaleb, the communications manager out there, and some of these other staffers. And it'll be exciting, I guess, to see. Change is part of life, isn't it, Tim?
Yes, it is. And this has sprung upon us here. And it's going to be going through my mind here for the next few days, just how this is all going to wash out.
Yeah. Finally, Tim, we got Game Fair coming up not too far away. What, just 3-4 weeks? August 11th, 12th, 13th, and 18th, 19th, 20th, out at the Armstrong Ranch, Anoka Ramsey, that area off Highway 10. Big event. Outdoor News will be out there. I'll be out there probably just about every day. And it's an event you like too, isn't it?
My message to all of those that have never been to Game Fair is you have to go. You cannot miss this. It is too much fun. Spend the whole day there. It's real easy to do that because there is so many things that are going on. Every hour there's something that starts up and happens. There's shooting events. There's dog training stuff. And there's just a whole lot of people that really enjoy the outdoors, especially the hunting and the dogs. And it's so much fun to see those dogs and all that they do and all they're capable of doing. I can sit there for hours and watch these dogs jumping off the dock to fetch those things that they throw out for them. It's incredible. And so much fun. The trick shooting stuff, oh my gosh, these people are phenomenal. And so it's one of those deals where I'm just telling you right now, if you have never been to Game Fair, this is the year you got to go check it out. Because once you do, you're going back every year because it's just a great amount of fun.
Yeah, my daughter enjoys it, seeing all the dogs. A lot of good things at Game Fair. Come on out, renew, or start a new subscription to Outdoor News or outdoornews.com. Great opportunity.
And here's something
to do
else
that
about Game Fair real quick. One quick thing about Game Fair. If you're thinking about taking up archery or shooting, or you're thinking about getting a new dog, whatever you're thinking about doing that's outdoors oriented, go out to Game Fair because that's a good place to start. There's so many things out there for beginners you can't even begin to imagine.
Tim, thanks for joining me. Good stuff. Have a good week ahead. We'll talk to you in 7 days.
We'll catch up to you soon.
It's our friend Tim Lesmeister. Thanks to everybody who's joined us on the broadcast. Everybody have a great week out of doors. Rob Gerisline signing off for Outdoor News Radio. Missed a segment from this week's edition of Outdoor News Radio? You can hear a podcast of the complete program at OutdoorNews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover here on the program, get yourself or a friend a subscription to Outdoor News. Just visit OutdoorNews.com. And don't forget to join us next week on this station to talk everything out of doors.